Proverbs chapter 1, at verse 1, this is God's holy word. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, friends, if you remember back to the days when you were taking classes or going to school, or maybe it hasn't been that long ago, if you've taken other courses or classes, or as I myself was listening to my children speak about different classes and courses that they're involved in, often the same sorts of questions arise. You want to know several things about different classes that you may be involved in. Who will be my teacher? It's one of the first questions that is often asked. Well, we considered that last time in the book of Proverbs, in the school of Christ, the school of wisdom. Who is our teacher? Well, that's God the Holy Spirit speaking through Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. There are several other questions that almost always crop up. What am I going to get out of this? What are we going to study? And another question that I often hear, who's going to be in the class? Who else is going to be there in this class? Because I don't want to go if it's just going to be just little kids, or if it's going to be people who know a lot more than I do. I don't want to be in a class. Who's going to be in the class? Often a very important consideration as you're going in to a class. Well, those second two questions, what's this all about and what am I going to get out of it, and who's going to be in the class, are the very questions that verses 2 through 6 in Proverbs chapter 1 deal with. The subject matter of the book of Proverbs and the students who are called to come to this classroom, this school of wisdom, Solomon's school. Let's consider the first question. What is the book of Proverbs for? What will it teach? What are the blessings and benefits of going to Solomon's school? Well, we see right away in verse 2. It's sort of a summary right there at the beginning, and then it's fleshed out. But here is what this book is all about. For attaining wisdom. For attaining wisdom. Wisdom is one of the most precious things, boys and girls, that you can get in life. We go to school to learn all sorts of things, all sorts of information and knowledge and skills. But this school teaches you knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom. In the book of Job, verse 28, we read, where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? Man does not comprehend its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. The sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, with precious onyx or sapphires. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. And so when we see that the purpose of this book is for attaining wisdom, we should be so interested in what this book is going to give us, because wisdom, according to the Bible, is the most precious thing that you can possess. To be wise, biblically, is to be skillful in living, but especially living a life before the face of God. To live your life in such a way before the face of God that God would say, that is a life being well lived. That's wisdom. This book will give wisdom and discipline, verse 2 says. 30 times in the book of Proverbs, we see this word discipline. It means to chasten or to instruct. It reminds us that we need not only to be taught, but also to be corrected at times. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. But Paul also goes on to say, and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. We don't only need wisdom, we need discipline to be brought back into the right path. We read here that this book will give understanding into terms of words of insight. This was the great gift that was given to Daniel. Daniel 1:20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned him, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his old kingdom. To be able to look at something and to see into it, to see beyond just the superficial, external, and to really understand what is going on. That's the blessing of insight. So many people just see superficial things, and they make judgments by what they see with their eyes, instead of seeing into the matter, having insight. This is the ability to distinguish from good from evil, insight, discretion. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And what a blessing that is, to know what's right and to know what's wrong. That's so basic, but how do you know the difference between right and wrong? I've told you the story before about my brother's father-in-law who used to go around asking people, what's the opposite of right? Lots of people, I don't know. The answer, of course, is wrong. The opposite of right is, there is something that's right and there's something that's wrong. That's in the world today, sometimes people can't even think that clearly. There is right and there is wrong. And then he'd ask them a second question, well, how do you know the difference? Well, I don't know. I just kind of feel that that's right or that's wrong. People give all sorts of answers. The opposite of right is wrong. And how do you know the difference? God's word tells you. That's how you learn the difference between right and wrong. God has his witness in your heart and your conscience, but the Bible says because of sin, our consciences can be hardened, our consciences can be seared, our consciences can be weak, our consciences can be twisted, dark, all sorts of things. They're not completely reliable, our consciences. They have to be trained and softened and informed by the Word of God. Well, these are the blessings that this book offers us, this School of Solomon. But in verse 3, we see that this book isn't just for head knowledge. It isn't just for intellectual training, but also for practical application, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for doing what is right and just and fair. So it's not just learning things, it's putting things into practice, which is, of course, what true wisdom is. This book will not only present to us the what and the why, but also the how of practical living. As one writer said, the book of Proverbs is truth in street clothes. It gets down to practical things. This is a book that will teach you about everyday life. It will teach you about people all around you and situations into which you will come. One author says, as you read through Proverbs, and not just the first 9 chapters, but all 31 chapters, you will read about laziness and pride. You'll learn about handling money and telling lies. Another writer said, we meet all sorts of familiar people in the book of Proverbs. We meet the bargain hunter, the neighbor you see too much of, the practical joker, and even the morning person who forgets that others take a while to get into gear. How practical this book is. And if you know the book of Proverbs, you know that all of those kinds of people are spoken of in this book. How immensely practical. It's not just about what you know, it's about how you live. God is the God of all of life. And so this book teaches you how to have a disciplined, prudent life. Without discipline, the gifts we are born with or the things that we receive are never honed and fine-tuned into what they can and should be. You know, there are many gifted people who never make the most of their gifts and who never thrive and flourish in the way that God would have them do because simply they lack discipline. It's discipline that forges gifts into usefulness, into practical usefulness. And there are myriads of people who begin life with immense giftedness, but who don't day by day have a disciplined life. And before you know it, even what you once had will be taken away from you. You will lose it. It's daily discipline. The book of Proverbs teaches us that. But discipline must be oriented properly, or it will be turned in bad directions. Discipline in and of itself is not enough. So we read, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. There are many wicked people who are very disciplined. The Nazis were highly disciplined, but they were wicked. So it's for a disciplined and prudent life. The word prudent in verse 4, it's very interesting because it's the word that's used in Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other wild animals, more subtle. You see, this prudence even has to be prudence in the right direction. It has to be prudence according to God's word. Because you can be crafty and subtle in a wicked way. So discipline and even prudence have to be oriented properly. And that's what this book will help you do by God's grace. The word here is also translated sometimes in verse 3 to prosper. That this is the practical benefit of this book. It will enable your life by God's grace to prosper in every way. Deuteronomy 29:9, carefully follow the terms of this covenant so that you may prosper in everything that you do. And in verse 3, the end of verse 3, you see the practical application continuing, doing what is right and just and fair. One commentator said, a man who thinks he is wise, but who is unfair or immoral needs to think again. Wisdom is justified by your children. Wisdom is justified by the kind of practical life that you live. And if you're truly wise, you will live a life that does what is right and just and fair. And to learn what is right and just and fair, we come to the Word of God. And that's what we'll learn in the book of Proverbs. Verse 6 gives another blessing or benefit. This book will help us to understand difficult truth, or truth taught in ways that force you to think. God in the Scripture often puts His wisdom in ways that force you to think. He doesn't just scatter His precious truth everywhere so that anyone can just come by and pick it up. And so we read here of proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. And you remember right away that that's how Jesus was known for teaching, in parables. And in Matthew 13, the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." God often speaks his truth in hard ways to understand. And that may seem hard for us to understand why he would do that. But he does it because his son and his wisdom is precious. And he will give his spirit to those to whom he wants to reveal himself. But it will be in a way that we have to apply ourselves to that wisdom. But you'll be rewarded for the effort. Jesus taught in parables. And people had to think, what does he mean by that? But the very exercise of having to think hard is a blessing. It means you care about what he's saying. It means you see that it's important and precious what he's saying because you're applying effort to get it. And this is the blessing that this book will help. It will help us to understand hard things, sometimes taught in hard ways. What a school. What a curriculum. What a set of goals and objectives and blessings. Will you enroll in the school? Do you want to enroll in this school? Say, I want to be a student in that school. I want to be a student in Solomon's school. You know, I can imagine asking that question, and some people may say, no, not interested. I don't think I need to do that. I think I know enough pretty much already. Thank you very much. Or there may be others who would say, no, I don't think I would enroll. I don't think I could ever be wise. I don't think I could ever be that kind of person that's described by these verses here in chapter 1. But I want you to notice, secondly, what Solomon says about who will be blessed in God's school of wisdom. Who are the students that he addresses in these verses? Look at verse 4. The first kind of people that he addresses are the young and the simple. Those who are immature or inexperienced or untaught. This is for you, if that describes you. And what a blessing for someone like that to come into this school when you're young, you're inexperienced in life. You can come to this school and by God's grace, you can be saved from so much unnecessary, foolish trouble in your life. So that you don't have to learn by trial and error. You know, there's a reason that they call it trial and error. No one ever calls it trial and success. It's always called trial and error. Because most of the time, you get it wrong when you're just going in blind. What a wonderful book. What a wonderful invitation to those who are just immature and simple and uneducated and unwise. You know, many writers have pointed out that over the door to Plato's school, the great Greek philosopher, Plato, were written these words, "Let no one who is not a geometrician enter here." A mathematician, geometrician, someone who is schooled in geometry, who knew all these things. He said, let no one who's not already bright and educated come into my school. How unlike Solomon. He doesn't say that. He doesn't bar the door. He doesn't say you have to be so smart and so mature and so wise already before I'm going to let you come and learn anything from me. No, That's not the way Solomon talks, and that's not the way God speaks. You are welcome in this school, no matter who you are. And in verse 5, we see the other class of people that Solomon addresses. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. What he's saying is, never think that you know it all. This is a school that will also be for people who are already wise and discerning, who are mature in many ways. There's still something for you here. Never think that you have arrived. There's always more to learn. And the more we learn, the more we learn how much there is to learn, don't we? Augustine wrote long ago about the Bible, just as there are shallows where a lamb may wade, so there are depths in the scripture where an elephant may swim. There's always more to learn. And so no matter who we are, the great humbling encouragement is that in all things, Solomon has mentioned how to learn and live these things. The great encouragement is about all these things that he's mentioned is that these are all descriptions of Jesus. And no matter who you are, I think that's the great encouragement to come to this school. When we see that all the things that he's mentioned about wisdom and prudence and discipline, they're all ways that the Bible has described Jesus. Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. You may wonder, what does that have to do with what we just spoke about? Well, when it says the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, it's the same word as the word for discipline in Proverbs chapter 1. The discipline that brought us peace was upon him. We were the ones who deserved to be rebuked and disciplined, even by the ultimate discipline of hell. But Christ was the one who took that upon himself so that we wouldn't be condemned, but saved and allowed to learn his wisdom. Isaiah 52:3 says, "See, my servant will act wisely." Speaking of Jesus. Psalm 98 speaks of Jesus. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. He always does what is just and right and fair. Isaiah 11 verse 2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." And we'll see next time, Lord willing. That's the first lesson in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy, and with justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. You see, the description of the curriculum, the blessings and benefits of the book of Proverbs, ultimately and perfectly speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so do we think that we're too good or too wise to sit in this school of the book of Proverbs? If we're thinking like that, then we should think about Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We're not yet like him. That should humble our pride. We should remember he offers forgiveness for foolish sinners. And looking to him reminds us of how far we have to go. We need this teaching. Or are you, on the other hand, thinking all this is beyond you? Well, then again, remember that this describes Jesus, the Savior. The Bible says that by God's grace and Spirit's work, we may be like Christ. That's the blessing of the gospel. so that we can be people who have wisdom and discipline and understanding and a disciplined, prudent life and who do what is right and just and fair. Because the Spirit of Christ is at work in the people of God. We have the great encouragement to all of us that we may become wiser than we already are in Christ. You know, when he was 87 years old, the artist Michelangelo said, "Ancora imparo," which means I am still learning. 87 years old. You know, I don't know if he was talking about learning about painting or sculpture, whatever he was talking about. But I know anyone who is interested in understanding and learning more of the wisdom of God, the God of whom we read at the beginning of this service, whose ways are beyond finding out, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, that if we are in Christ's school, how can we not say, I'm still learning? How can we not say, along with the Apostle Paul, not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.